Let us pray for God's blessing on our message. Holy Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight this day, through Christ our Lord. Amen. I want this morning to share with you the tale of two boys. The first boy was named Joe. Joe was a good little boy. He did his homework. He did his chores. He was a well-adjusted child. He grew up, got married, raised a nice family. He went to church. He gave some money to his church. And he gave some money to responsible charities also. The day came eventually when Joe died. And he was praised at the memorial service for him as a really good guy. The other boy's name was Stan. I am told he was a bad little boy. He didn't do his homework very often. He eventually dropped out of school. He was addicted to some drugs. He lived a sexually loose and permissive life. And at the age of 32, he finally hit rock bottom. But he managed to turn his life around. He got rid of his bad habits and he kept away from bad friends. He even decided to live for God from that time on. And when he died, many people got up to speak on Stan's behalf and praised him for having really turned things around. Now I have a question for you. Which of these men brought joy to God? Which of these men made God happy? Joe? Stan? Both? I'll share an answer to this shortly. In our gospel lesson read by Pastor Mark today, tax collectors who were despised, by the way, tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear Jesus. They were interested in what he had to say. And the Pharisees were not happy at that at all. They grumbled. Jesus wasn't keeping very good company. They said, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." And maybe we should try and understand the Pharisees a little better. They really did want to make God happy. That's probably why so many of them emphasized the law and tried to lead righteous lives. But we are told that there was sometimes a debate that went on about Pharisees about what sort of a person makes God the happiest. And some Pharisees understandably held the opinion that the kind of person that really makes God happy is the one who is basically righteous, lives a righteous life all of his life. But there was another group who believed that God is even happier when a person has lived a bad life and they change for the better and they start keeping God's laws. You may be surprised with the answer to the question about Joe and Stan and who made God happier. For there is nothing to indicate in the Gospels that Jesus was particularly happy with either of them. Many students of the Bible would say that the best answer to the Joe and Stan question, based on the information given, which was brief, granted, but the best answer based on this information is neither. And why do they say that? Well, Jesus responded to the grumbling of the Pharisees and the scribes by telling two parables, as recorded in the Gospel. He told the parable of the lost sheep, and he told the parable of the lost coin. But note that in both of these parables, the lost sheep does not save itself, and the lost coin does not find its owner. They are sought out. And Jesus demonstrates with these parables how dedicated he is to recovering sinners for himself. He loves people. And he seeks out sinners so that they might be saved. And he loves them so much, he is willing to die on the cross for them. And there is another point to be noted here. The man in the gospel parable not only looks for the lost sheep and finds it, but he lays it on his shoulders and brings it home. A lost sheep needs help. It cannot fend for itself. They're amazingly helpless if you ever read a book about sheep. But we realize that the Lord is only talking about sheep as symbols here. What he is really talking about is you and me and the lost ones. And we can't fend for ourselves, and we need to be carried by him to get safely home. And actually, there is a flaw in both the accounts of Joe and Stan, and they were written deliberately that way. For there is no mention of repentance in either one. They both seem to do well in the end and are praised for the things they have done. And from a human standpoint, many of those were good. But there is a pitfall here. Something important is missing. There is nothing about repentance. And realizing this is a made-up story, still, if this is all there is to a person's life, you have a work-based religion. Because even in the best of lies, there is sin. And God spoke through his prophet Isaiah, among others, and told us this about our condition. Quote, "We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." God spoke through his apostle Paul and used these words in Romans 3:23, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." That's a passage you should memorize, incidentally, for witnessing. And that's why we have to experience physical death on this earth. But Romans 6:23, another passage you would do well to memorize, follows with the good news. "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." So let's go back to our text this morning for an answer to what brings God joy. And what brings God joy is when a person who is lost, wayward, and sinful repents. And Jesus addresses that specifically in Luke 15:7. "I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 persons who have no need of repentance. Actually, and this is for our deeper thinkers, Reverend Jared Milius, pastor of Mount Zion Lutheran Church in Denver, Colorado, makes a very interesting point about this passage. He preached on this one verse. And he states that the original word translated as repent is actually a present active tense of the verb that can be more literally translated as repenting. And if you translate it that way, this is how your Bible verse reads. There will be more joy in heaven over one person repenting than over 99 righteous who don't need repentance. And I think he makes a good point here. It's worth considering. Because the kind of repentance that brings joy to God is not just a one-time thing, but someone who is willing to live a life of repentance. We have to keep on repenting. Why? We have to keep on repenting because we keep on sinning. We need spiritual maintenance, don't we? Do you believe this? For if you do, Luke 15:7 is also talking about you this morning. And we are told that someday there is going to be a big party. There is going to be a big banquet in a different place, and there's going to be a lot of rejoicing, and you and I are invited. But there are some implications to this. For as I shared with the young people in the Old Testament through his prophet Ezekiel, God says this, "For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out, as a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness." And Jesus says to his New Testament church, in various passages of John 10, "I tell you the truth, I am the gate of the sheep. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Well, how is God doing this? On September 11th, 2016. How does he plan to do this tomorrow? And every day after tomorrow until that last great day, he wants to do it through us. We have a mission. Individually, with people who touch our lives, and we have a mission collectively as a church to find those in our society who are lost, to find those who are wandering, to find those living in spiritual darkness, to find the children who have not been baptized. And this is everybody's responsibility, not just the pastor's responsibility. We all share. Jesus is quoted in Mark 16 as saying, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation." And I assure you, And there's many passages to back this up. I assure you that when we are individually faithful in carrying that out, then we have been faithful servants and brought joy to our God. For Jesus' sake, amen.